Hey, my name is Chris from Queens, and I'm listening to the Hood Rap Recap Podcast.
It was an early morning meetup at the mansion on the mountain. The maestro still had glitter on his face. They led us to the office, and once my eyes adjusted, I took a little look around the place. On the mantel was a portrait of his father and the fortune he'd amassed from being ruthless but polite. And a bottle with a model, a specific British clipper ship. On his desk there was a pistol and a pipe.
We got bored, so we started a podcast about the best bar band in the land, man. This is the Hood Rat Recap, and we are back. We are a steady stream of the unified scene, all the news and reviews of the band that you love, we love, and as the great Craig Finn said on his first album, February is about as long as it is wide. Hello, everybody. This is Stage Right Mike on the mic, and I can talk hold steady all night. And when I like to talk hold steady heavy, I like to throw up the rat signal. And just like that, the Hood Rat Pack has assembled. And as always, we start out with the Unified Scene's very own King of Queens, Gasper. Gasper, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, man. But you know what? I'm trying to get people to call me Jif.
Why is that, Gasper?
Well, because all the choosy mothers choose me, man.
Ooh.
This might be the worst one I ever did.
And how's that working out for you, Gasper?
Not very good, man. Not surprisingly, not very good. People keep calling me Schmuckers.
And it's called Smuckers, you dope. I was going to call you Schmuckers.
You are a smuck.
Did I say it wrong?
Yeah, you did say it wrong. Oh, my God.
This is definitely the worst.
Worst one you've ever done.
Wait, is Smucker's the one that has the grape jelly mixed in with the peanut butter? Because that is,
Smucker's
it's not as good as it sounds.
The one with the natural peanut oil.
And no, like that, I don't know worst. Which is the one that has the, I don't know the brand that has the peanut butter mixed in with, but I agree, it's terrible.
Smucker's might do that too, but,
anyway.
Hi, everyone.
That's the sound of our third mic and our producer, Kevin is whenever. Kevin, how you doing?
I mean, this show is a disaster right off the bat. No, sorry, everybody who had to put up with that one. The joke was supposed to be he was going to say Smuckers, and then I was ready to come with Schmuckers, and he right away threw Schmuckers, and now I didn't know what to say. So, hi, everybody.
Do you want to retake this whole fucking thing?
No. This has got to live the way it was. I will say this. I'm a little tired and wiped out only because I just got off a plane this morning. I was out in LA, so I know you guys recorded and chatted while I was gone. So why don't you give me the brief story on that?
Yeah, man. This has been a year in the making. If we're keeping time by massive night shows, it was two massive night shows ago that speaking to Craig in Lake Street Bar, he recommended that we interview Nick Holloman, who is the artist behind many of the Hold Steady posters that we all know and love, and as well as the cover art to Thrashing to the Passion. So between everything going on with the 20-year anniversary of the Hold Steady, it's been quite a bit to cover, but we finally got a chance. Me and Mike got to sit down with him, and I thought we had to have a great interview for you guys.
Yeah, we had a great talk with Nick, so let's jump right into it.
When she asked if she could choke him underneath the blacklight poster with a spaceman saying, take me to your dealer.
All right, so we're joined by Nick Holloman, who is the artist behind many of the Hold Steady posters that you're familiar with, and also the cover art of Thrashing, right?
Yep. I did Thrashing, and then also did the second Craig solo record.
Awesome.
Faith in the Future.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Nick. Where'd you say you were joining us from?
I'm in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess to start off, like, you're a Hold Steady fan, right? Like, how did you get into the Hold Steady?
Yeah, definitely. Actually, it's funny. I think the first time that I listened to the Hold Steady was coming from Lifter Puller. So I was a fan of Lifter Puller, but I got into Lifter Puller because of Aesthetic Apparatus, who is a a design studio up in Minneapolis who did a lot of the early Hold Steady poster stuff. And they still do, you know, a handful here and there. I think they did Constructive Summer a few years ago. They did the First Ave anniversary show a year or two ago. So they still do a few things, but I was a big fan of them when I was in college. And, you know, I'd see that they'd do a poster for somebody and be like, I bet they're pretty cool. I'll check them out. So that's how I got into Lifter Puller. And then, you know, from there, obviously going into the Hold Steady.
Okay. So you've been a fan from the beginning, the inception of Hold Steady. Awesome. So how did you come to start doing artwork for them?
So there is a bar and venue that's a couple blocks from my house called The Earl. They've played there a handful of times, but the guy who used to book there is named Patrick, and we're friends from hanging around, and he knew that I was a fan of the Hold Steady. And when Craig was coming through on his first solo tour, he was like, hey, you want to do the poster for the show? I was like, absolutely. So did that poster. That one, if I remember correctly, it was based on Honolulu Blues, which was the single that was out at the time. The whole record had not come out yet. So that's all I really had to work with for the solo stuff. So I did that poster. After the show, you know, kind of hung around, talked to Craig, we connected. And then a couple months later, they were coming back through as just kind of a one-off show, playing at the Earl again. And that's when I did the poster that's behind you now, which, you know, I don't think we'll be able to see on audio too well, but it it's all the silhouettes of all the different musical artists that were referenced in Hold Steady lyrics at the time of making. So that was the initial thing. And then from there, we've just kind of kept in touch. And, you know, it's ramped up a lot more over the past few years, obviously with the band ramping back up over the last few years. It's kind of taken off from there. And now, you know, we work pretty closely together and do quite a bit of stuff.
Right.
Yeah, I should tell you, Nick, Gasper might be your biggest fan. I've seen his art. He's got like a whole wall at home, and then at his office, I've seen that one too, where he's got to have like every poster you've ever made. I say,
yeah, it gets a little much. I literally every room in my house has at least one poster of yours, and then I have an office at work that they tease me all the time because it might as well be a shrine to the band. It's every poster on the wall, and it's literally every wall is covered.
Yeah.
I actually just included spotlighting for the posters this week.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and the one you referenced above my head, the silhouette post, that's one of my favorites. I love that. That must have been incredible to put together.
Yeah, it was really fun. Now I can't tell from the picture, but is that the one for the actual show at the Earl, or was that the one we redid for the anniversary? Because we did a reprint and added a few extra ones. This was after Teeth Dreams came out that we redid it.
I want to say it's
added
that
a few
one.
Extra on there. Okay.
So actually, you can't see it, but so this is my living room, and that's pretty much the centerpiece of my living room. It's both the silhouette posters and then the state posters.
Yep.
The one with the whole country.
Yep. So when we did the country one is when we redid and updated that one with the silhouettes, because the original silhouette one we did before Teeth Dreams came out, and then that one was after. So there was a few on there that we were able to come back and add in, and then also added in some from the, you know, bonus tracks that were on the anniversary reissues of Boys and Girls and Separation Sunday and all those. So we got to add a few extra in there.
Yeah, that it's such an amazing concept. I love that one, and it's a good conversation piece.
Yeah, thank you.
So one of the things about your posters that I love is that style of a unique poster for a band, that's something from, like, I remember from, like, not that I remember, but I've seen from the 70s. Mm-hmm. I'm 50, so like I was a kid in the 70s, but like the Jefferson Airplane, and like they were so unique to themselves, and your style is very unique. Like, can you talk a little bit about that? Like, what goes into coming up with the concepts of the posters?
Yeah, I mean, whenever I'm doing a poster, you know, I used to do a decent amount of posters for other shows and bands and stuff, especially down at the Earl from, you know, down the street from my house. I would, you know, kind of for a few years, I was doing quite a few for just any show that was coming through there. I was trading free poster design for free show access for a few years. But yeah, whenever I sit down to do one, you know, I think the most important part for me when I'm kind of concepting through and figuring out what I'm going to do is like, it needs to be specific to who you're making the poster for. Like, I love a great illustration, But if you can put anybody's name underneath it and it doesn't matter, then, you know, that doesn't really interest me too much. You know, I can be impressed with how it's rendered and think it's put together really well. But if I could put any band name under it, you know, it just doesn't have that feeling for me that it needs to have. So for the most part, especially with the Hold Steady, I mean, Craig's lyrics are so immersive and have so many stories and details that there's quite a bit to work with. But it's all based there. It has to be specific for the band, whether it's, you know, something about the band itself or something about a specific lyric or song or meaning. But, you know, I feel like at least hopefully on all the posters I've done for them, like, I don't think you could put another band's name on there and it really make any sense as a poster. So that's kind of always the most important thing for me. You know, I think it works well, you know, with the Hold Steady's fans. Everybody, you know, there are casual fans, but I think we all know for the most part we're all a little obsessed and know maybe a little bit too much. And you know, so it's fun to get to play off of some of those little details. And you know, that's really the base, is it has to be specific for who you're doing it for, or it's just another poster, I guess.
Right. Absolutely. And we were just talking about that before you came on. There's so many little details. You highlight them on your Instagram, which I love. Like, for example, the Vegas show on the cards, you have all the water towers like in the cards. And it's like, those are the details. Like, you really got to look at the poster, which is awesome because the designs are always like fairly simple, like in concept, but then the details are in there as an Easter egg, which is very apropos for the Hold Steady. And
yeah, awesome. And you know, that's kind of how I'm actually working on another one right now.
All right.
So I was, you know, talking about it with my wife last night, and we were, you know, looking at it and we're like, all right, I got to figure out how to get all this other stuff in there. And then once we get that, you know, we'll be done with the poster. But then that's the fun part, where you get to go in and add like 20 different small little elements in there that, you know, maybe somebody will see, maybe somebody won't. But you know, that's the fun part. I think, you know, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Chicago poster that I did maybe five or six years ago. It's the apartment building with the lights on it, and the lights form the Stay Positive logo.
Yes.
Of the ones that are lit up.
Yeah.
So that one, I think, is my perfect example of being able to finish the design and then go in and add as many possible things as you can. I mean, I had however many windows there to work with, so I was able to throw a bunch of Chicago references and then a bunch of Hold Steady references. And somewhere, I think it's towards the top on the left side, I threw a picture of myself with my son on top of my shoulders in one of those windows.
Oh,
so that's always fun to be able to, you know, look back through that thing and find all the things. And, you know, I've forgotten about some of them when I look at it. So even then, it's still fun to go back and look at that kind of stuff.
So it's almost like a Where's Waldo type. With all that
yeah,
detail
exactly.
In there.
So I'm trying to think what else is in there. There's like a Michael Jordan in the window. There's you know, like some stuff for Touch and Go, which is a great label out of Chicago, and you know, all that kind of stuff is always fun to kind of get in and see what all you can put in and know that some people are going to see it, some people aren't, and that's cool. And then, you know, there's just that ability to kind of show those to people when you're talking to them. They're like, oh, I totally see that now. And I, you know, that adds an extra layer to it, which I think is always fun.
That's awesome.
I can always recognize your work immediately because it just got like a clean, like line, optimistic look to it. Or I guess I'm not an art student, so sorry. But how would you describe your look? Is it I like Andy Warhol, that's all I know. I don't know anything else about art, but
that makes total sense. It's interesting. I think there's, you know, there's a ton of different poster artists. There's a ton of different ways to do a poster. Some people are, you know, much more, you know, illustrators who go in there and they can, you know, draw whatever they want. And you're like, all right, that is not something I can do. I wish I could do that. You know, I can get by with drawing, but in the end, you know, a lot of my stuff is really collage based, where I'm trying to, you know, have an idea and it's like, you know, I could draw that, but it's not going to end up being exactly how I want it to be. So it's more about, you know, putting together a collage and then doing the collage on top of itself to get it all uniform and getting it together where it looks like it's a unified piece and fits together. But that's typically my process. I'll kind of have an idea. I'm like, all right, I think I know what this is going to look like in my head. And then I start just assembling it together. And then once it's assembled, you know, kind of in the shape and composition that I want, that's when I kind of start going in and pulling it all into a unified look and feel and final piece there.
Hmm. Like, I see you have a Dark Knight poster behind you. Do you get kind of use comic books as an inspiration? I kind of get the comic book feel to them.
Yeah. Actually it's funny. The Earl poster that is, behind Gasper there, that is a 100% straight ripoff of the back of a Marvel Comics puzzle that I had as a kid. I'm sure you've seen them, those posters of, you know, it has like hundreds and hundreds of Marvel characters on it and they're just all standing there in a big, glob. So that was the puzzle, but the back of the box looked exactly like this and had the silhouettes of everybody with a number and then told you their name just in a list down the side. Oh. So yeah, definitely, some comic stuff happening in there. And you know, it's just the storytelling. You know, I enjoy that kind of stuff because comics have, you know, they tell stories visually. And, you know, that's what I'm trying to do with these posters is boil down a story into one image most of the time.
So just to give people a reference, you're responsible for many of the Massive Knights posters, going back to probably Massive Knights 3, I think, is the first one.
Yep. 3 was the first one. That's the one with the balloons. Yep. So that one, you know, we kind of always thought of Massive Knights as kind of like, you know, the prom for all the Hold Steady fans. And, you know, I always just remember those, you know, Mylar balloons at school dances, you know, they'd say what year it is or it says prom or whatever. I was like, what if we just tried to make those and do the Stay Positive logo out of it. And that's kind of where that one was born from.
Nice. So, and I love the Massive Knights posters. They're always awesome, but specifically the 2022 poster. Can you talk a little bit about that one? Cause that one is so intricate and there's so many little pieces to it. That's the one that kind of looks like it could almost be hanging in a Mason temple or something like that.
Oh, well, yeah. That was the inspiration for that one. So, okay. Yeah, at the beginning, you know, it's like Massive Knights is the prom for all of us. But the more we go, you see the same people. There becomes this like secret language between everyone who's there. You know, it's how you greet people. It's, you know, everybody doing something at the same time during a song. And it's like, it's kind of turned into this secret society, in my mind. And that's kind of where we started, with that. Actually, the first iteration of that year was, I was like, you know, how do we figure out, how do we represent like a secret language, that we all share? And, the first thing I did was go through and retyped out all the lyrics to Massive Knights as a song, but only using emojis. And it actually was pretty readable if you know the lyrics and you know what you're looking at. But in the end, it just, you know, it wasn't a great poster itself. So it's like, all right, I like this idea of, you know, the secret language, secret society. What's another way to approach it? And that's where I went down that kind of, you know, Mason, you know, secret society kind of thing, and just played off of that as much as possible. And that one was really, really fun because you get to get in there and look at every little part and be like, all right, I see this. And it was one of the first ones where I started combining more than one song into something. So it was like, the idea is just around secret languages, secret societies. So let's pull out some lyrics that, you know, talk about secrets and things like that. And those are running throughout. And then you have, you know, the little crystal ball at the bottom with the horse in it to reference Chips Ahoy. Mm-hmm. You've got the king and the queen up on the side. And, you know, I think my favorite little detail in that one is there's just a circle of letters, and it's over there on the left side. Mm-hmm. And all that is just the guys in the band's initials. So, it's just a string of letters there that you read around, and you know, you're like, oh, okay, that's Bobby, that's Craig, that's Franz, that's Steve, that's Tad, and you know, and Galen in there. And you've got it all there. But when you look at it, it's just like a string of 10 letters, and you're like, what is this?
Yep. It's funny. I don't know if you remember the positive posting group, but I remember when that picture first got posted and everyone was deciphering like, oh, this is from this is from that. And that's the one that stumped most people. And they're like, what is that? And I'm like, it's their initials. How do you not know it's their initials?
I really like the Sixers poster. What was that for? That was
Jersey City last year.
Jersey City.
Yep. Yeah, that's another good one that I really like. But it's interesting, you know, based on the comic thing. So that the original iteration of that was like a pulp comic looking frame depicting the guy, you know, trying to kiss her and getting pushed away and all that kind of stuff. And had the Nagel poster in there and all of those types of things. But it same kind of thing. It just didn't quite fully work like that. So then reapproaching it, and you know, that one is a perfect example of like, I don't, you know, fully illustrate stuff a lot of times. That's a collage. You know, a collage of all these elements. I shot a few of those pictures. I pulled a few of them from just weird stock photo sites, and you know, just putting them back together and unifying it. And then to bring in the little human element of the shadow of them dancing, I think really kind of pulled that one together where it isn't just like, here's a still life of a bunch of objects that happen to be mentioned in this song. You know, it really kind of finalized that scene.
Yeah, you can, it almost like the picture almost has movement because you can see there are shadows of them dancing over everything that's described in the song. Like, so you have a Nagel. So what's it like having, I kind of like it because you have another artist in your inside your piece of work there. So
yeah, so hopefully I won't get in too much trouble.
The patent's got to be, his stuff was all in what, the 80s, so his patent's got to be up by now, or how's that work?
I'm sure we'll refer to it as a transformative work, so we'll be all right.
I don't know. That's one of the ones I get the most comments about at work. I have that in my office. So people really do love that one. And it's funny because like you mentioned the Chicago one, and it's like basically I had to make a rule for myself where like you have to go to the show to get the poster. Mm-hmm. If you're not at the show, you can't get the poster.
And he lives it too. I tried getting him the Minnesota State Fair one, and he's like, oh, I really like it. But he goes, I'm not at the show, so don't send it to me. So yeah, he really lives it.
And I love that image. I have it on a t-shirt.
I got it too.
I have it on a t-shirt, which oddly enough, I bought the t-shirt at the Jersey City show, because that's where Josh had told me that there was like a whole order mix up, and he had a big problem with it. He was like, I got all these shirts. So I'm like, oh, then I'm buying one.
Yep. And so I think Josh was emailing me. I think I sent him like the files for the shirts again, like 2 days before the fair, because the original order got delayed in transit or something. And he had somebody in town who was like, I can do, you know, a rush job as quick as I can. But those were not part of it. They're like, we can do like a one color shirt and we'll get you some. So it was like at the fair show, which I think might be, you know, the biggest show they've ever played as far as like, you know, how many people can fit in there other than opening for the Stones, obviously. But you know, that's the biggest show they've ever played. And I think they only had the posters and like one shirt. So a bunch of stuff got delayed and got sold at later places. That's where the redo of the twin shirt was supposed to be this year, but it, you know, it didn't show up there either.
Yeah. That one's really popular. I've never been able to get that one. I know a lot of people online have been trying to get that one. Yeah.
Yeah. I still have my original one from,
that
would have been 2006 or seven. And it is hanging on by a thread, and only one thread at this point. So.
Oh, wow. So when we're talking about the Easter eggs, one of the ones that we were trying to figure out, the Portland show, and you highlighted on your Instagram page, the guy fishing on the roof. What's the reference to that?
So he's sitting on top of the pharmacy, so he is fishing for another prescription.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow.
Okay, I get it now. Awesome.
So yeah, that one is a fun one too. It's got quite a bit. You know, you've got the OTB off track betting. Mm-hmm. You know, the I think my favorite dumb joke that are in any of the posters, which is a lot of the times how I come to these little references, is like, what's like a dumb little joke we can put in here that'll make me laugh and make a couple people laugh when I send it to them, is her father's lawyer as the name of the law firm down there on the corner.
Right.
It's like, that's not what it's going to be called, but you got to drive it home and not take it too seriously sometimes. So that one's fun.
So another cool thing that you did was for Open Door Policy, you did all the animal designs, right?
Yep.
And those are I love those when they came out. They so those were done on t-shirts and the coasters, I think. Did they make the record itself?
They're on the inside in the liner notes with each track. So that was actually Craig's idea. So Vance Wellenstein, who is a great designer, he did Open Door Policy and Price of Progress, and has done a couple things with Craig as well. He was doing the design, and they were talking, trying to find some themes throughout. And as they were looking through, Craig realized every song on the record has some sort of reference to an animal, whether super direct or maybe a little bit of a stretch. I think the biggest stretch is on Spices. We have a bunny because it mentions Easter. Some of the other ones are, straight there. You've got hornets and things like that are specifically mentioned. That was something from Craig where he called me up and he was like, hey, we're, doing a new record. Vance is going to do this one, but want to get you to do some illustration stuff for the inside. Here's a list of animals. Let's see what we can do with them.
Awesome.
Huh. Yeah, and I really like your positive jam fest, where you pretty much just go with the jelly jam Welch's almost.
Yeah. That one was a lot of fun. It was, I think festival posters are always a little dicey to try to figure out. You want to represent everybody, as equally as possible. But also need to highlight different things. I think we did a good job there. It's a smaller festival, so it's easier. You're not dealing with the 40 artist list there or anything where it's like three people are huge and 20 people are kind of big. And then, we were able to say, all right, this is Hold Steady's festival. They're obviously going to be up here front and center. And then everybody else is, just the same. Like, we need to treat everybody the same because all of these artists are amazing. And then just the idea, positive jam, we're on a farm. I'm like, oh, you make jam from fruit. Let's do fruit stickers. and those were fun to put together. A lot of those fruit stickers themselves, with the Hold Steady one, it's just like the jelly jar, the Smucker's jelly jar. And then the other artists are actual just like old, fruit stickers that you can find on things that, have been repurposed. I think my favorite is the Tallest Man on Earth one has that guy on there. I think it was from like a pineapple or something from like Argentina, maybe. I was like, that's a cool looking sticker. I was just, searching, Googling like old fruit stickers to see what I could find and then pull inspiration from there. And that one was a really fun one to put together.
Awesome. And when you talk about the concept of equal time, like I think a really good example of that, while it's not a festival, the Boston show, the Hold Steady Dinosaur Jr. one, for people who don't know that one, that's the one with the two snakes. And it's literally two posters in one, depending on which way you hang it. The Dinosaur Jr. side and the Hold Steady side.
Yeah, I thought that was, that was one. It was like, we're doing a co-headlining thing. I was like, all right, how do I do a co-headlining thing? I was like, you can either hang it sideways or you can go whichever way you want, up, down, sideways. It works whichever way, which I thought that one was really fun. There was trying to remember who it was. I think it was actually Aesthetic Apparatus, who I mentioned earlier as one of the reasons I got into Lifter Puller. They did a joint tour poster for, I think it was like We Are Scientists and Art Brute, maybe 15 years ago. And they just did two posters that were exactly the same, but the background had the names over and over and over again in, you know, a different color for each one. And it was like, you highlighted one and you could go to the show and you could get both. You could get one. They had it on each one, but kind of highlighted it in a different way, which I thought was interesting as well. So, you know, started there as my idea. And then I was like, I don't think we can print two different posters. Come on, let's just figure out how we can do this in one.
So then, Nick, I just wanted to, you know, a lot of our listeners here might not have Instagram open, so they might not remember all your posters. I think everybody knows the Thrashing Through the Passion album cover. So can you just talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so that one was super intense to do, I guess. You know, I think that's probably the thing I spent the most on just because of how technical it was. You know, as Craig and I were talking through it, that one was kind of born out of all of the pre-release singles artwork. So all of those singles that came out before were, you know, scenes from somewhere. Sometimes they were pretty specific for the song and sometimes got a little bit looser. But once we knew we were doing the full album, it was like, you know, we really like this idea of these are just mini sketches of places that could happen in a song. But what happens if you kind of zoom out from that and see where those things actually are? So we didn't pull all of the things that were on the singles into the full, you know, village, as we like to call it, from traditional village song. But there's a few that, you know, carried over from those original singles and you get to see them in the scene. But just that was the full idea there was, you know, how do we have this idea of these songs are taking place, you know, in a world? What does that world look like? And what would inhabit that? So that one was really fun. But that's the most technical, you know, drawing I've done. And that one really, you know, as I say, I don't ever draw the full thing. You know, that one was just 100% painstakingly drawn on some crazy hexagonal grid to give it that, you know, perspective. That one was a lot of fun to do.
Awesome.
Wow. Yeah.
So which was your favorite piece to design for the band?
My favorite one that I've done, I think it is that Earl poster. I mean, it's the first thing that I did. I think it, you know, especially the early days of, you know, the band, it's so rich with references to other artists and other songs. And, you know, that was one of the things that really pulled me in after, you know, Lifter Puller. I was like, yeah, I'll check this out. And then you see all these references and, you know, it's kind of like a, you know, an I Spy or a word search or whatever. Like I know that's a reference, but I don't know what it is. So then I got to go see who it is and figure it out and go through. And, you know, it's also the first, you know, real thing doing together. So there's some of that nostalgia to it. But yeah, I think in the early days, that's a lot of what I thought about with them was like, oh, these guys like the same stuff that I like. You know, all these bands are awesome. And then the ones that, you know, there may be a little bit of a, you know, side shoot where you're like, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to listen to that, but I appreciate that there's a reference to, you know, Dancing on the Ceiling by Lionel Richie. You know, everybody knows that. And you know, I think that's my favorite part of that is you've got the clump of everybody. And then you've got one dude turned upside down with his feet on the, you know, on the top of the box that they're holding all in. I think that's one that people are always like, I looked at that first to figure out what was going on. And then I was like, oh, Dancing on the Ceiling. I get it.
Nick, you said like the groups like the same things you like. We had Steve Salvage on this show and I had to ask him about his Air Jordan 1s because it's such a big part of his persona. And then I look and I see on your Instagram, you got, what's your connection with, do you have a connection with Air Jordan 1s? Do you like them or?
I am quite obsessed with shoes as well. I do have a lot of Jordans. I've actually made a custom pair of Jordans myself from scratch, which was pretty fun.
Awesome. Wow.
And yeah, so, you know, Steve and I have talked about that a ton. You know, when when I show up to the show, we'll always kind of greet each other and both immediately look down and see what the other person is wearing. I think at this point I've tailed off a little bit, mostly because I've run out of space in my closet to put any more shoes in. I converted all of the hanging spaces to shelves, and now wow. I'm just one row of shirts and pants because I'm a casual guy, but you know, quite a few pairs of shoes.
Wow.
All right. And you said you're working on a poster now. Can you give us a hint?
Let's see. Yes. It's for the summer, and I might be constructing some stuff in it. So, But yeah, I'm supposed to be finishing it very soon. So I'm sure you guys will see it very soon as well.
Excellent.
Awesome.
And then Nick, I just want to ask you one that, you know, you said you put the initials of the band, you kind of hit them in there. And that kind of reminded me of one of the Led Zeppelin covers. So like, if you could go back in time, the 60s, 70s, 80s, and design a poster for any band, have you ever thought about which one you'd want to do?
I have not thought of that. You know, it's tough because legitimately, I mean, the Hold Steady is my favorite band. Like, I feel like I'm kind of living the dream already. So yeah, I think I'll leave it at that. I think there's plenty that I could do, but in the end, you know, designing a bunch of stuff for your favorite band is pretty damn cool.
Whoa, there you go. That was a great interview, guys. I was really surprised at everything Nick had to say. I thought he did other bands too, but he loves the Hold Steady so much. It seems like he really concentrates on that. Before we let Nick go, we had him do a version of From Meatloaf to the Billy Joel. Here we go.
Warm beer to the summer smoke, and the meatloaf to the Billy Joel. Certain songs, they get so scratched into our souls.
Titus Andronicus is one of my other favorites. I think a lot of people probably know them already.
Oh, I never wanted to change the world, but I'm looking for a new Jersey. Cause trends like us, baby, we were born to die.
Not this past Massive Nights, but the 2022. I was standing out front of the Brooklyn Bowl, and Patrick from Titus Andronicus was standing out there. We kind of looked at each other, and he was like, I bet that guy, you know, recognizes me. And I was like, you're Patrick, right? And he was like, yeah, what's up, man? I was like, hey, how's it going? You know, I was like, I actually met you, you know, like 13 years ago. I did a poster for them at the Earl as well. Oh, nice. So, you know, we talked about that for a second, and he was like, wait, is it the one where there's like all the, you know, old military guys from the Civil War, and there's a guy there on the stretcher? I was like, yep, that's it. He's like, I actually have that one in my bedroom. I was like, yes.
Oh, wow.
It was like one of the more exciting, you know, random encounters that I've had. I think probably who I've been listening to the most is Jeff Rosenstock. Brendan, who I assume you guys know, Brendan Hilliard, who does a lot of the social media stuff for the band. Him and I have become really good friends over the last few years, just talking about this. I'll kind of go back and forth with him on a lot of the poster stuff, but I think it was... maybe 2 or 3 years ago, he was like, hey, you should check this guy out. I think you'll like it. And I was like, yep, I definitely like it. And, you know, I kind of just, I've last year, you know, on the, on Spotify at the end of the year, they're like, here's your Spotify rap. And, you know, shows you all of your stats, who you listen to the most, how many hours, all that kind of stuff. This is a secret that I'm telling in public, but last year was the first year that the Hold Steady did not take my top spot in the last you know, 7 or 8 years. And Jeff Rosenstock slid in there this year. So that was I was surprised when I saw it, but you know, I think they'll forgive me, so it'll be okay.
So for the few that may not know who Jeff Rosenstock is, where would you say a good jumping off point? What's your favorite song, or how would you introduce somebody to Jeff Rosenstock?
Yeah. So his album Worry is probably my favorite one. And the first track on that just puts me on the floor just about every time.
Someone's gonna bleed in triple trails in the snow. Stretch into the boss from an overstuffed explode.
Yeah, it's really similar to the Hold Steady and Craig solo stuff, you know, sometimes in, you know, tone and musical style, but really, you know, I think of them similarly because it's just storytelling. You know, he's out there telling a story in all the songs. And that's, you know, that's what I really connected with on those. And, you know, the Worry album, you know, has quite a few where I'm like, oh, I know exactly what that is. Which sometimes was exciting and sometimes was sad because I was like, oh, yeah, I've gone through that stuff too. But, you know, it was just connecting to it on that kind of lyrical level. And then the music itself is just fantastic as well. He used to be in a band called Bomb the Music Industry, which was a little bit more funky and ska-ish sometimes, where his solo stuff is, you know, a little bit more, you know, just rock, I guess, for lack of a better term. But it really does just kind of come back to the lyrics for me for him, and you know, just the emotion in the singing as well, which I think is something that Craig's great at as well, where I, you know, draw the comparison. You know, I don't think either one of them, you know, I don't think many people would think of them as, you know, technically impressive singers. Like, you're not going to go to the opera and be blown away by an aria that either one of them are doing by any means, but you know, the way they sing and the inflection that they have, you know, just adds to the emotion and adds to the story of it. And you know, it's not about hitting notes, it's about hitting emotions.
So Nick, I just want to thank you for giving us the time. This was awesome. And if it's all right with you, we'll take some of the posters we referenced today and put them on our Facebook along with the link to this episode so people have a visual reference.
Yeah, perfect.
And this was awesome. And
yeah, this was a lot of fun, guys.
Keep up the amazing work on the artwork. I don't know where I'm going to hang your next couple posters.
And then Nick, is there anything you want to plug or anywhere where our listeners can find you at, like your Instagram or anything else?
Yeah. I mean, Instagram's there. I mean, the I don't know if I want to say interesting part, but you know, the Hold Steady is the only people that I do kind of this work for. My day job, I actually work at a software company as a software designer. So, you know, if you guys need some learning software, you know, just let me know. I love it there, but it's a completely different world. But yeah, this is the last little, you know, foot into the poster world that I still have as a, as an adult who has much more responsibilities now, and can't do free posters for free shows like I used to in my 20s.
We should get set up before we sleep. Feels like now we're in this pretty tape. We should get set up before we sleep.
Well, that was really something. I gotta say, I agree with Titus Andronicus. I've talked about them a few times on this podcast, so I always appreciate anytime somebody else agrees with me on them. So that was great to hear his choices for Meatloaf to the Billy Joel.
Yeah, he had a great Titus story too, by the way.
Yeah, and you know what? It's real interesting to hear that the band has been such part of the Hold Steady history and lore for so long now, and it's kind of how I discovered them. So it was great. I was totally into it, which sort of brings us to
The return of a segment, which a lot of people seem to love. We had kind of shelved the past few episodes, but we're going to return to Diamonds in the Drain.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, why don't you explain to us the new rules of Diamonds in the Great Drain? We're revamping it. This is like Diamonds, I would say 3.0 at this point, right? Because we did it once and then we did the last three records. So now what are we doing this time?
So guys, you know, we had so much success. We used to do Diamonds in the Drains just off random songs when we first started. That was edition one. Then we did Diamonds in the Drains, the last three albums. We'd roll the dice and whatever track number came up, we'd assign them a gold, silver, and bronze medal. And that was really popular. So now we're coming out with Diamonds in the Drain 3.0, the Dirty Dozen. And we got a lot of D's in here. It's Diamonds in the Drain, Dirty Dozen. We're using D&D dice, which stands for Diamonds in the Drain, or Dirty Dozen, which, what does it stand for, guys? But so I'm going to roll a 12-sided dice, and the first four albums, now you're saying, now, wait a minute, there's four albums. How are we going to get gold, silver, bronze? But we're going to have a fourth category off the podium. So it's going to be a little more cutthroat than the rest of them, guys. So you guys ready? Okay, I'm going to roll my 12-sided dice here. Let me know if you can hear it.
All right, what'd you get?
And we got a three, and I think three might be some big songs.
Yeah, this is going to be a hard one. So, like, what makes this rough is, like, the first four records are arguably everybody's, like, have to be favorite songs on these records, right? Like, this is where we all got started. This is original stuff into the most popular stuff. Stuff that makes up the what makes the concerts what they are, stuff that makes the storyline what it is, because the storyline's gonna be on Separation Sunday, but it touches Almost Kill Me and Boys and Girls, and arguably people will say that it goes beyond that. There's a lot to consider here. This is gonna be a hard one.
Well, it's tough too, and as people know at home, you know, Almost Killed Me originally, when you first got into it, was only 10 tracks, so we're doing the deluxe edition so we could get 12 on each. And some people, as we get into this, are going to realize, like, the song we leave off the podium is probably going to end up being their favorite, and we might get some heat for that, because even this one, when you look at the third track on all of these records, it's a pretty big dogfight. I know, just off the top of my head, I think G's going to have a hard time with some of the Sophie's Choice, especially what number three is off of Stay Positive. Like,
no doubt.
So... I mean, we could get into it. Why don't we, like, break down for everybody listening at home what track three of each album is?
Okay. Track three of Almost Killed Me is going to be Barf Fruit Blues.
Kids with broken hearts, kids with broken bones. Kids with kidney stones, giving birth to bloody stereos.
That is correct.
And then off of Separation Sunday is our... sort of where the name of our show comes from. Your little hood rat friend.
Your little hood rat friend makes me sick. But after I get sick, I just get sad. Cause it burns being broke. Hurts to be heartbroken. And always being both must be a drag. She's been calling me again.
Mike, why don't you tell him what's on...
off of Boys and Girls in America, and these are all killer songs, is Hot Soft Light.
And then, G, I'll let you give the Stay Positive one, only because I know it's a favorite, but it could...
Yeah, this absolutely is a favorite. One for the Cutters from Stay Positive. This is definitely going to be difficult.
When there weren't any parties, she'd park by the quarry, walk into the woods until she came to a clearing where townies would gather and drink.
It's going to be difficult as we do the whole game. But this particular track will be interesting. So why don't we get into it? Who's going to go first?
Well, I think just for continuity, we should let Mike go first, because Mike has always gone first, and then you can go, and then I'll go, and then we'll kick. We'll give out the totals.
All right, Mike, you're up.
Oh, thanks, guys, for making me do these. These are some four difficult songs here, and you're making me go first.
I know this is an audio podcast, but for everyone listening at home, Mike literally has sweat dripping down his forehead right now.
Yeah, I'm toweling off right now. So I guess I'll start with the gold medal. This one, I feel like I don't have a choice. The name of the podcast is the Hood Rat Recap. I think your little hood rat friend, it was the very first Hold Steady song I ever heard. It's what got me into the band. And in fact, the line that got me into the band was, you know, City Center used to be the center of our dreams. Now City Center's over. No one really goes there. So my original girlfriend worked down at City Center, and she didn't have a car, so I always had to go pick her up there. So we had a lot of great dreams there. But then, you know, eventually the Mall America opened and City Center was over. No one really went there. So when I heard that line of the song, I was like, this song or this line and this song totally nail it, but it's only for me. No one else is going to get it. So I just don't know how the universe works, because now that's the line that everybody throws confetti on at the concert. So that's mm-hmm. just amazing to me. So that's my number one song. And then I can't believe I'm giving a silver medal to Hot Soft Light, because that's one of my top 10 probably Hold Steady songs. At first, I kind of ignored it for a while because Boys and a Girl in America had so many strong songs on it. I would just like skip over it. But eventually, I think that's just amazing. Like, you know, he says, we're kicking it with Cousins. And when he sings it in Minnesota, he changes it to the football, you know, Kirk Cousins. And then, which I think is cool. And then he says, you know, Cousins, we're going to go out clubbing, but then we just stayed around drinking. It sounds like a real story. And I just love all the imagery in that song. You know, Tighten Up Its Tentacles is some of the best lyrics Craig's ever written. I really love the guitar work by Tad in that one. So that only gets a silver. You know, it's probably one of my top 10 songs, but I'm a fraud. You guys know I have 50 top 10 songs. So I guess I'm going to have to go bronze to One for the Cutters. I like that song. I know some people are kind of off on it. I think it might be the most unique song in their whole catalog. I think it's really the biggest Franz flex in the whole catalog, where Franz is really doing the heavy lifting there. I really enjoy that song. I love the storyline to it. It really stands out more than any other song in their catalog, even maybe more than Carlos Is Crying, I think. So I give that the bronze. And then unfortunately, you know, we have to pick an off the podium song that gets 0 points. I'm going to have to go with Bar Fruit Blues. I think it's a good song it's on their first album. It gives us a lot of clues of what's to come, all the fun stuff that's going to come. I love when he says, you know, it's good to see you're still in a bar band, baby. And I love when he sings it live, he says, it's good to see that you're still in the bar. I really love that part of it, but unfortunately, I think Bar Fruit Blues, you know, if you run your fastest race in the Olympics, if you end up going against Usain Bolt, Carl Weathers and Ben Johnson, when he's all juiced up, you're still going to end up off the podium, even if you ran a good race. So that's my order. What do you got, Casper?
All right. So yeah, this is definitely difficult. And like I said, there are things to consider here. I mean, first we're talking about which is the best song of these four songs, right? So you're just a song as a song, which do you like the best? But for me, then it kind of goes into the whole lore of the Hold Steady, the story of the Hold Steady. These songs touched, with the exception of One for the Cutters, people have said, I know Clicks and Hisses references that it is part of the story. I don't think it is. I think it's a standalone story in and of itself. It's kind of up for interpretation. Then there's performances live. I mean, like some of these songs that where like Steve really wails, or like you said, Franz has a huge part of One for the Cutters. Like there's so much to consider. That being said, best song, I would say, honestly, Hot Soft Light is out of these four the top song in when you take every category into consideration. It is one of my favorite songs. It's also a song that's huge when you go see them live. It does encompass the storyline. It's touching what's going on, and it's integral to the story. And it's also where there's some amazing guitar solos live. It's the song itself is awesome. That's my gold. I think you have to give it to your little hood rat friend next, because I mean that's pretty much like their first single, right? This is the song that wound up on Tony Hawk. This is the song that like it's the entry point for a lot of people. It's also where we named our podcast after. It's where we throw confetti. It's such a huge part of it, and it's essential to the storyline. So yeah, it's got to be up there. But for me, it's number two. Number three, I'm gonna go with One for the Cutters, because I love that song so much. I would love to make it my number one. I love the harpsichord part that Franz does. I love the storyline that, to me, is very self-contained, and it's kind of a perfect song to me. I know a lot of people don't agree, but putting Barfruit Blues on off the podium is a little rough. That's a deep cut. That's something that people look to hear live. It's something we don't get to hear often. It's a song I will crank up when I'm in the car, because I love it. But in these four, that's my order.
Wow. Wow, that's a hard act to follow with what you both did. And sometimes I'm glad I get to go last, because when I hear you guys pontificate and then get to say you're wrong makes me happy. But, I will say this. I agree with Mike for the gold. I'll start with gold too. Your little hood rat friend, when you bring up all the categories that you were just talking about, the live performance, the song, how great that is, you know, you're way more into the story lore than I am. That never really goes into my enjoyment of the song, because I take each piece sort of as a standalone, not how it fits in the overall story arc. But for me, Your Little Hood Rat Friend is easily my favorite song. It's the confetti song, which people know my stake on the, you know, the story of the confetti. We name our podcast after it. But all in all, I love that song. It's one of my favorites. My silver is the one you both threw off the podium, Barfruit Blues. I got to say, I really enjoy that song. I love when they play it live. What Mike was saying about when Craig sings it live and he really drives the point home about being in the bar band, and great to see him back in the bar, is really awesome. But also, like, I love at the end when he talks about half the crowd is calling out Born to Run and half the crowd is running out Born to Lose. Like, it's such a dichotomy, because you're talking about two very different styles, and between the influence of Springsteen and the influence of punk rock, and with whether, you know, I guess there's some debate if people are talking about the Bouncing Souls or Social D. I don't know if it's ever been clarified, but they both have songs named Born to Lose in the punk world. I'll leave that to somebody to let me know otherwise, but I just love it. To me, that's my silver.
I always took it as Social D, but is that a cover, the Social D? Born to Lose?
It's a very good question. I'm not sure.
I also like, look, it's an interesting, the point that you're making there, it's like, that's very representative of the scene itself, because there is like that, not even a split, like people, this is music that people love from all different spectrums. And it's almost like a nod to the audience, but I'm sorry to interrupt, Gang.
No, it's fine. But that's why I couldn't let this fall off the podium, even though you guys, it's such... And really, come on, when he sings, it's great to see you back in the bars. When you're in the show, the arms are being thrown, everyone's screaming it. Like, it's such a moment. And you guys are like, yeah, it's cool. I like the harpsichord on One for the Cutters better. We'll get to that later.
Don't get me wrong. This was hard. Like you said, this was a Sophie's choice.
I know. This is very tough. My bronze is Hot Soft Light. I love the tune. I love when you see it live and they do Chips Ahoy right into it. It's always a cool moment. Because it plays like it does on the record. And as a guy who loves Stay Positive, is one of his favorite records. One for the Cutters is probably one of my least favorite songs. I get it. But where it comes in the sequence right after Sequestered in Memphis, it's such a sort of step out that was my off the podium for me, compared to these other tunes, which I just have such a stronger affinity towards throughout the years. I mean, I was just in LA in Amoeba, and I was scrolling through, and they had a vinyl reissue of Boys and Girls in America, which I didn't have, and I picked it up and I brought it home this weekend. I can't wait to unwrap it. So those are my picks for it. So now, if we're going to look at the totals of what we got, it's a little interesting. Clearly the gold winner for this first installment return of Diamonds in the Drain goes to Your Little Hood Rat Friend with a total of 8 points. Our second goes to Hot Soft Light with 6 points. And then which we didn't think could happen, but it did happen. We have a tie for a third, as One for the Cutters and Barfruit Blues both got 2 points each.
Interesting.
So, out of week one, the clear goal is your Little Hood Rat friend.
All right, guys. So we got a tie there. Another feature we're going to have is we're going to put polls up on Facebook and Twitter. The Twitter, it'll be our page. And then Facebook's weird. It doesn't let us do it on. So we're going to have to do it on the Positive Posting fan page that I think almost everybody who listens to this podcast is on. So yeah, you can vote as many times as you want on the Facebook poll and the Twitter poll. And what we figured out last time is that Facebook and Twitter, we thought it was the same people, but the polls would come out in the opposite. One was North Pole and one was South Pole. They were totally opposite order. So we will, and we will give your results of how you voted on the next episode, on the next or on the next version of Diamonds in the Dream. So
cool.
Awesome. And that's going to do it for us on this episode. It was great to hear you guys interview. I also, it's great to have Diamonds in the Drain back. It'll be fun to see the next 11 episodes of what we come up with as we break this stuff down. If you like what we do, give us a like, a follow. We do this because you guys listen. We do really appreciate the support and everybody that kind of chimes in. It gives us validation, and we kind of just enjoy talking about the band we all love. And Gasper, why don't you tell them where they could find us on socials?
You could find us on all the social media outlets, but the best place to find anything Hood Rat Recap is our Linktree, which is linktr.ee/thehoodratrecap. Please go there, check out this episode, check out all our episodes, and hit our social media. And we'd love to know what you thought on Diamonds in the Drain and what your thoughts on the songs are.
Yeah, everybody. So leave us a voicemail on the show notes. You just click on the link there and leave us a voicemail. That would be great. But, and I just wanted to say for all the guys there, we really appreciate all the listens we've been getting. The numbers have been crazy. I personally think we have saturated the market on Hold Steady fans who also listen to podcasts. So I just want to ask you a little favor. You got your little music head friend that never listens to podcasts. He just keeps telling you about these annoying new groups that he knows that you never heard of. So we are on all the music. So we are on Amazon Music now. We have always been on Spotify. We're on iHeart. We're on all the music apps, YouTube Music. So if you can just hook your friend up, get them set up, put our podcast on their music app. So tell them we play a lot of music. So that would really help us out a lot. If we can get some new, we're on Audible for your little friend that only listens to books all the time. We're also on Audible now. So just set up our apps on their phones, help them set it up so they can get into the world of podcasting, because it's amazing. So that's all I got.
All right. So I'm Gasper. That's Mike. That's Kevin. And that was Nick Holloman, artist behind the Hold Steady posters we all know and love. And us guys, and all you guys and gals, we are all the Hood Rat Recap. Killer party songs.
You're born a schmuck and you'll die a schmuck. Welcome to hell, idiot.